hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller. Believe it or not, it is me. I'm a little froggy today, but I assure you, it's not a stand-in. We're coming to you live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network on this third day of April 2006. And, well, AJ slammed another one out of the park today. I was listening to his show today. I'm talking about Alex Jones. And keep it up, Alex. You keep up doing such a fine job. I'm almost glad that they're coming for you first instead of me. No, I'm just teasing. He had a guy on. I was listening to his show earlier today, Forrest M. Mims III. He is a editor of the Citizen Scientist magazine and chairman of the Environmental Science section of the Texas Academy of Science to discuss the controversial University of Texas professor. And folks, keep in mind, the U of T is right in our backyard down here in Austin, Texas. This guy was advocating the mass death of 90% of the world's human population. And I was listening to Alex's show before he went into the story, before he brought Mims on, and he kept telling people, he said, folks, I don't exaggerate here. I don't exaggerate. And I'm listening, and I'm actually in the shower, you know, and I'm shaving and listening to the show. And lo and behold, it brings Forrest Mims up that was there, tape recorded it, and is going to make a transcript available. And you're going to find out exactly what these people are up to. They are really dead set serious, and they've been working in their inner circles for all this time to rid the earth. There's bothersome people out there, these useless eaters, you know, the useless polluters out there that they, yes, plan on getting rid of about 90% of us on planet Earth. And he keeps digging up this information and presenting it. Well, we'll see where the spinmeisters go with this one out there. I mean, they tried to rake him over the coals with the Charlie Sheen issue. You know, that's another one he smacked into another postal zone service. Keep it up, Alex. You're doing a good job, my man. Doing a good job. At any rate, on today's program, speaking of doing good work, and I got this by way of another individual, and thank you, the people that do the program, Divided Kingdom on this network, got a hold of Chris Pinto and actually had him send me this DVD, America's Beginnings, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, The New Atlantis. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm going, okay, that's only a couple hours long. Okay, I think I'll put it in a DVD. Well, it was 3 hours and 15 minutes long, and what I saw in this thing just literally blew me away. Aside from some people that I recognize, Dr. Stanley Monteith is on this DVD, a guy by the name of William Stills, which, ironically, I'm having dinner with some people, had all the network people over last night at my house, having dinner. And one of the people at the dinner, we had to bring him up to speed somewhat. And, well, I gave him the book, The New World Order, from William Stills. So, at any rate, I've got today, I've got the man that put this thing together. And we're going to be talking with David Bay, that put together this very, very well. I'm impressed with what the people are doing in the DVD production, the value of the production alone. Forget for a second, set aside the information contained. I'm just so impressed with the presentation. It's none of this hokey stuff anymore, folks. It grabs everybody's attention. We'll be talking with David Bay here, the director of this film, right after this.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
My guest here, I mean, this has been years in the making, folks. Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. It takes us on a road not much traveled, a long and winding road that's actually a pictorial lyric to America's tune, or should I say, true birthplace. And this is, my engineer watched it, my wife watched it, I watched it, and it was not properly labeled here. It said approximately 2 hours, and it ended up being, I think, 3 hours and 15 minutes long, but mesmerizing. And as I'm watching this, there I see Dr. Stanley Monteith, which is on this network from 10 p.m. to midnight, Monday through Friday, and that's Central Time, folks. And there's other people that I recognize. William Still is also on this thing. So I was enamored with this, and we did not contact David. It was actually our people that have Divided Kingdom on the network from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time that actually called and had Mr. Pinto send us a copy. So we went in a roundabout way of getting a hold of Mr. Bay, and we've got Mr. Bay on the program today. Good afternoon, David. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate your work here. I guess this has been a long time coming, hasn't it?
Yeah. The research for this volume, which is Volume 1, and Volumes 2, 3, and 4, are all, basically in the can, so to speak, right now. And it's taken me, it's taken me 12 full years to put it together, and it's taken me a full year working with Chris Pinto to get it produced. But I think the value to which you alluded has made it all worthwhile.
Well, and it's billed as being the Da Vinci Code meets National Treasure.
Right.
and I've seen the movie National Treasure, and it was stuck in your face 10 different ways from Sunday how wonderful the Illuminati and the Masonic Order is.
That's right.
Yeah, and such is not necessarily the case.
Right, and we show that in our video. But getting back to National Treasure, while it was a puff piece on, designed to make the Masonic Lodge look terrific, it did admit several things that the Masons have been denying for a long time. Number one, it admitted that America's founding fathers were Masons and they had a hidden agenda. And the second thing they admitted to is that this agenda was told in ciphers and codes that were hidden and left behind. And then the third thing they admitted was that the back of the $1 bill is a magical Knights Templar document that is, quote, speaking to us today. So these are things that they've all denied in the past. So I thought that, I was probably 95% finished with my research when National Treasure hit. And I was excited because it zoomed to the top of the charts. It was number one for 4 weeks, took in $128 million, and Secret Mysteries is National Treasure times 10.
Well, but the problem is we don't have a major studio producing this film, and we don't have their distribution, and a lot of people took National Treasure as good entertainment, but other people looked at it as if this is a good way to whitewash, and, at one point in time, and this DVD covers this, and I want to go through some of what the DVD actually covers, and just going from memory, I wouldn't do a good job doing this because I want to watch the thing again. I mean, it was so full of information that it's one of these pieces that you cannot grasp in a single viewing.
That is true. And we've had people, watching it 3, 4, sometimes 5 times to get all the information and all the nuances.
Well, and now you take off let's make a clarification right here, right now, because there have been a lot of people that have said that we cannot necessarily pin the blame on some of the world's real conspiracy working theories, the real conspiracy in American history, not only American history, but of the world, that we can't necessarily point the blame in one direction. Would you consider that to be a fair statement?
Yes, I would consider that. I would consider that a fair statement. There have been various forces throughout the world history, especially the last 1,000 years, that have been vying for world control, a total world government, economy, and religion. I mean, the Catholic Church set up the Jesuits to try to recover her lost influence that Martin Luther helped weaken, and the Jesuits have been very active ever since then. The Masters of the Illuminati were founded to accomplish the same thing. And then you had the regular Masons, and then you had the Rosicrucians, the Order of the Golden Dawn. Yeah, there are many, many, many different forces out there.
Okay, throughout history, because I had an argument, an ongoing argument, that I reminded them that the Catholic Church wasn't around at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I reminded them, and I said it was the Pharisees that did that. It was a threat to their political influence in Rome. They were very comfortable at the time. Jesus Christ was more of a political problem to them than a newfound religion.
Well, that's true. They were, it's interesting, and I this is one of the more delicious discoveries I made as I was as I was researching this film. You've heard of the Kabbalah, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. The term Kabbalah and the system now known as Kabbalah was not created and systematized until around 1100 AD, in the 1100s. And, before that, it was passed down generation to generation, among the Jewish priests through the oral tradition, which is, just the tedious process of passing down a whole body of information verbatim from one generation to another strictly by memorizing. And the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' day were practitioners of what is now known as the Kabbalah. So now you know why they hated Jesus so much and why they wanted a political king. They didn't want a king who said my kingdom is not of this world. They wanted a political king. And so that's why they were so adamant against him.
Yeah, and a lot of people, if they watch the old movies that Hollywood used to make, which was kind of a glorified version of history, but at least they got some of it right, that Pontius Pilate tried to pass this thing over to Herod, and he got bounced back to him. Nobody wanted to touch Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they feared the masses. Because Jesus, I mean, some Bible scholars believe that if you study the history of his ministry really carefully, both in the biblical account and the accounts of historians of the time like Josephus, they really believe Jesus came close to eradicating disease in Israel at the time. And he was a very popular guy.
Well,
they feared him.
Well, and of course we have the Muslim world that declares him just to be a prophet, not the Son of God. We have the Jews of the world that are still waiting for the Messiah to come.
Right.
And the Christians are the only ones that are saying that Christ came and he promised to come again.
Right.
And we're the only ones waiting for him. In the meantime, we see the political intrigue of the time trying to kick off what has been termed World War III and World War IV. Take your pick of which one. We have a group of people sitting back, waiting in the wings, and trying to pit Muslims against Christians. This has been tried many times in the past, but that's present-day history. We're dealing here with the run-up to present day here. And you've got a very interesting background here, and I'd like to thank the military for helping this man, because they gave you the tools necessary in which to complete your research, did they not?
Yes, they did. I was a senior in high school in 1968 when the Tet Offensive occurred, and of course I, along with tens of thousands of other students, received a draft call up. I did not want to wind up on the ground in Vietnam, so I joined for 4 years in Army intelligence, and out of advanced individual training, I was assigned to a Pentagon level facility in Okinawa, which is now part of Japan. At that time, it was still under the U.S. military control. And this was a very high-level facility. And I had a top-secret crypto clearance, which meant, basically, that if I had the need to know, I could view the same piece of paper as the President of the United States could view. I had to have the need to know, of course. And the President's always got a need. He automatically has a need to know. But anyway, yes, I learned something very important there, because I kept the Portland, Oregonian newspaper coming to me because I wanted to go back to Portland after serving my 4 years and go into business, and I wanted to keep track of business changes in the city. But what I realized was that the news was basically a lie. I mean, with my top secret crypto clearance, I knew the truth behind most of the stories, and I could just see that everyone in government lied. The Pentagon lied. The White House lied. The congressmen and senators were lying. In fact, at one point, after about a year and a half of this, I said to my wife, I said, maybe I ought to try to find stories where they're actually telling the truth. And this prepared me well for this video.
David, before we go to break, short answer, how many did you find that were actually telling the truth?
About 5%.
Okay. We'll take a break here. We'll be right back. Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 1. The other two are in the can, not yet ready for release. We'll be talking with David Bay more right after this break. Stay tuned.
The future of health and wellness is here, and a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest today, David Bay, we're talking about Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 1, The New Atlantis. And there has been a lot of discussion. The people that hate Jesus Christ or Christianity will be the first ones to decry the fact that all the founding fathers were deists. Well, in this DVD, there is a good expose on Ben Franklin himself. But the founding fathers have been trying to be portrayed as something, forming something less than a perfect government. And in today's world, looking back on the Constitution, one might ask, well, why didn't they do this? We do know that the Federalists were in there pounding it very hard. The Federalists got their way, by the way, in 1867, I do believe, through Reconstruction. They finally consolidated power through Reconstruction to the Fed end, anyhow, in Washington, D.C. They finally accomplished that. But it still started out, and David, I want to get your views on this, that we started out to be a good country. I think Thomas Paine had a very big hand, along with another gentleman, Mr. Mason, in putting the Ten Amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Now, the original declaration or the original Constitution, they didn't want to have anything to do with that. But wait a minute, what are we doing here? Are we setting up another realm for the king? Or
right, the Bill of Rights is an interesting document because the Baptists in the colonies at the time had a strong say, you know, in passing those. I remember, you know, Thomas Jefferson at one point made a special trip to Danbury, Connecticut, to address the Danbury Baptist Church there, and solidify their support for the Bill of Rights. And that's a very interesting alignment. You know, a Rosicrucian, Freemason, Thomas Jefferson, you know, deist at best, forming alliance with the Baptists. But there was a very special reason for that. Both the secret societies and the Protestant Christians had been suffering for hundreds and hundreds of years prior to this at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, the Catholic Inquisition was set up in the year 601 in order to kill the Hermetic philosophers, quote unquote, is what they were called. Later on in history, we call them Freemasons. Or Rosicrucians, secret society people, and the Catholic Church systematically killed these people all the way through until the 1700s. And so the founding fathers wanted to make sure that a person's rights were completely protected, and we could never again be persecuted either by the king or by a pope type figure. And so for the only time in American history, there was a solid alliance between the secret societies of our founding fathers and the Baptists in America.
The founders, as I said, were trying to paint them. And, you've heard the statements before. Well, you know, this was a couple of hundred years ago. The world has changed. You know, these are just stodgy old guys with white wigs, and well, they were just setting up the new king's realm and the whole nine yards. And I've often reminded people, David, that it is not, it's human nature that never changes. Back when the Constitution was written, I think they were still using whale oil lamps and quill pens. Now we have fluorescent lights and ballpoint pens. But the one thing that has not changed is the nature of man.
Right.
That never changes. There is still evil in their hearts, and allowed to be unchecked, the evil will prevail. I think that's a pretty fair assessment of what's going on in today's world, don't you, don't
yeah,
you think?
I mean, both the Christians and the founding fathers were very well aware that man's nature was inherently evil. I mean, they had had enough history, you know, going all the way back to 600. That proved that point to them, and they did not want a government ruled by man. They wanted a government ruled by laws and limited in their reach, and that's what makes the laws passed after 9/11 so dangerous, is they have breached those walls. The Patriot Act and other acts have really breached those walls that the founding fathers set up.
Well, and what we have today, and people, they and Judge Roy Moore, and I misspoke the other day. I said Louisiana, and he was actually a Supreme Court judge in Louisiana. And he had a heck of a time. I remember when he put the Ten Commandments in the rotunda of the Supreme Court building
right,
down there?
Right.
Well, and there were several different polls that were done, and the numbers came back pretty much the same. About 50% of the Americans thought it was a good idea that those Ten Commandments stay in the building, and about 50% of the people thought it was a good idea if it were to be removed, because the ACLU, when their landmark case went in 1961 or 2, came up with this fancy thing called separation of church and state.
Yeah, a rather convenient invention, don't you say?
It certainly was, and especially out of the Kabbalists out there and the Talmudists, that's a wonderful thing to do, try to separate us from Christian principle. We'll be right back.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities, the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com. There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
You know, folks, the difference here between the republic and the democracy, without getting into the legal definitions of it, in a more spiritual sense, is the republic was established upon biblical principles, unalienable rights of our Creator, and that's liberty. What we're being told the country is now, and what we're enmeshed in setting up around the world, is democracies. And of course, those are established upon the principles of humanism. Man, state is God. Rights are mere privileges of the state requiring a number for you to enjoy. That's pretty much the difference between the two of them. And, you know, they've gone to great lengths to make people believe that the Constitution itself is a living document subject to change upon, well, immediate needs, I guess. And we're witnessing a president here that since the 9/11, September of 2001, that seems to think that because of certain reasons that it's okay to trash and shred the Constitution. And by the way, with that shredding confetti, there goes your rights along with it. But not really. Realistically, your rights do come from God. God doesn't like slaves. But the business of the government, first and foremost, was to protect the individual rights, God-given rights. And they're trying to, they're trying to convince us otherwise, aren't they?
They are, because you see, the the plan that President Bush is following is not the plan that Sir Francis Bacon, Queen Elizabeth I, and John Dee conceived in, you know, in the 1580s, 1590s. Most people don't realize that. One of the purposes of this video was to tell the people, both Christian and secular people from on the right, people on the left, Americans of all stripes. We wanted to tell the people why George Bush was in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's one of the major reasons for this video. You know, and President Bush gave me the ammunition, so to speak, that enabled me to put a real sharp focus on this in the video. If we show a clip of President Bush giving his second inaugural address on January 20, 2005. And he was defending his foreign policy generally, and the Iraq and Afghanistan war specifically, when he made this startling statement. He said, quote, "When our fathers declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope which is meant to be fulfilled," unquote. Now, what Bush was saying was, my foreign policy means to fulfill this new order of the ages, this ancient hope. Well, I came out of my chair because on the term New Order of the Ages is a far older term than the Novus Ordo Seclorum on the back of the $1 bill. That means New Order, New Secular Order, or, you know, shorthanded to New World Order. Now, that was coined by Adam Vsauce on May 1, 1776. When he founded the Masters of the Illuminati. The Ancient Order of the Ages goes all the way back to the 1580s with Queen Elizabeth I and Sir Francis Bacon. So what Bush was saying, he says, I'm just trying to fulfill this plan by Bacon to create a global government, economy, and religion here. That's the only reason I'm in the Middle East, which, of course, is not quite true. Because Bacon and Queen Elizabeth, when they systematically planned for the North American colonies to be founded as a new Atlantis nation, which would lead the world into the New World Order, they conceived of a benign change, a benign march, peaceful, benign march to this global utopia, this global paradise on earth.
But let me stop you here. In those plans, Sir Francis Bacon and Queen Elizabeth, did they plan to use the banks to do their bidding, or was this Adam Weishaupt's dream?
Adam Vsauce had a silent accomplice when he founded the Masters of the Illuminati on May 1, 1776. His silent accomplice was a very rich diamond merchant, by the name of Mayor Amschel Bauer, who later changed his name to Rothschild. And so the use of banks came in 1776. And you see the whole benign nature of Bacon's plan changed on May 1, 1776. Because Bacon had conceived that man was inherently good, and that you could, through science and education and training and ethics, you could train evil out of a man, and so Bacon gave us the foundation for modern science. You know, the empirical method totally came from Bacon, and he felt that as man became more educated and more enlightened and more imbued with these positive human impulses, that gradually the evil would just drain out of him. And that generations after generations, maybe taking 300 and 400 years, after the American Republic was set up, eventually mankind would get to a point where they would be so elevated in their human consciousness and so good that
the evil would just be, yes.
Man, mankind as a whole would have a paradigm shift of consciousness, realize the godhood was within them, and there would be no need for a government. And instead of a government, an enlightened master spirit would arise, and he would lead them into a thousand years of peace and beyond. Now, that was Bacon's plan. You know, at the end of all this, a messiah figure will arise. That was Bacon's plan.
It was a peaceful, benevolent new world order.
Yes. And see, our founding fathers, with the exception of Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, but especially Franklin, with the exception of these guys, our founding fathers had completely bought into the benevolent plan. They believed it with all their heart. And America was founded on that benevolent plan. But on May 1, 1776, Adam Vissos founded the Master of the Illuminati with Rothschild in the background as his money man. And Vissos changed things completely. He said to the Freemasons of the world, you're crazy if you think that this global system can be set up benevolently and without any kind of violence or war. He says, that's ridiculous. If it's going to be set up, if it's going to be achieved, it has to be set up through wars and revolutions, assassination, and global bloodshed. And the American founding fathers were horrified by this and thought it was insidious. And Washington, George Washington, later in his life, called it diabolical.
Is this the reason? Because George Washington was a Mason, but it was reported, and I think it was in your DVD, your presentation, that he was not an active member in the Masonic lodges. I think he spent a couple of days in 30 years at the lodges.
Well, we will cover this more in. We gave Washington an easy pass on this in Volume 1. We will go into it more in Volume 2. We wanted to see. For Volume 1, which focused on the establishment of America as the New Atlantis in conformity with Bacon's plan, the key founding father was Ben Franklin, not George Washington. Now, in Volume 2, where we're going to be talking about the riddles in stone, all of the symbols and monuments in Washington, D.C., President Washington is the key man. We'll focus more on him there. But we did not want to get into a long, extrapolated.
In the first presentation, I understand.
Yeah, right.
I'll tell you what, we've got callers already holding. I have a habit of not leaving them hold too long. Let's take a few calls and clear the bank out, and then we'll come back to subject matter at hand. Jeff in New Mexico. Hello, Jeff. You're on with Mr. David Bay.
Yeah, Mr. Bay. Just because Bush uses the phrase. Phrase written by Francis Bacon, I don't think that's such a big deal. I think Bush is just an international strategist like Nixon or something.
Coming out of the Skull and Bones?
Remember, he is a member of Skull and Bones, which is a black magic Masonic organization. And his dad, Bush the Senior, used the term New World Order constantly from the time that Saddam invaded Kuwait all the way to the end of his term. I mean, it was no doubt that George Bush had followed was following this Illuminati plan, no doubt.
And on the last show on RBN, on Greg Szymanski's show, this kid said Manchurian. What does that mean, Manchurian candidate? He said he was born a Manchurian or something. What does that mean?
I don't know, because Mr. Bay did not hear the program. Neither did I, Jeff.
I've never known really what that Manchurian candidate. What's that mean?
Well, we'll have to save that for another show. Thanks for your call. I think that there are some. I would have liked to have kept Jeff on longer to probe him a little bit deeper as to why he thinks George Bush is just a goofball and a. And I've heard a lot of people say this, David, that he's just a puppet. He's just being used.
Well, see, I learned in Army intelligence that the greatest fear that someone has is that their own government leaders might actually be out to do them harm. That's a fear. And so everybody likes to think, he's not really meaning to do this. It's just a matter of greed or maybe incompetence or a combination of the two, or just plain bad luck. And most people sleep easier at night if they believe that. But I think the events of 9/11 and the imposition on us of the very frightening Patriot Act, I think should show people that this is not the case.
Well, and this was the first time I think in American history that you had two members, not of the same class, but two members of the very same secret society, Skull and Bones, vying for that top position in the U.S. government. We
yep.
had John Kerry, Skull and Bones, and we had George Bush. And apparently they wanted Bush a little bit more than they wanted Kerry. Maybe his business contacts were better. I'm not sure. But they had to steal the election in 2000. Some would argue they also stole the election in 2004. But,
well, you know, it was interesting because exit polls were showing Kerry a winner, and then all of a sudden, the official results came in, and it was completely the opposite direction. So, but you know, when you know, electronic voting has always bothered me because these votes are sent out into cyberspace. And who knows, you know, who knows what they really were, and they all go to several key points of collection, and then they're reported on upward. It's just so easy to steal an election when you've got electronic voting.
Well, I've got an engineer here that's a pretty good programmer. He writes his own programs, and given enough time, I would say at least 48 hours to study the programming, I would make a dollars to donuts bet. But this man could probably hack into their system and change the tallies on the vote, and he's very good at computers. There are people out there that are absolute whizzes with computers, and so you know, I always said about that issue. You know why? You know, you go to an ATM. Would you just accept the fact of what you read on a screen without a receipt? Would you use a debit card at a gasoline station and not demand a receipt for your own records? Of course you wouldn't. So supposedly the biggest thing that a person will do in their lives, aside from their having what God intended, having family and procreating here, some people would argue the second most important thing you'll do in your life is voting in an election. So why would people accept a voting machine that doesn't give you a printed receipt?
Absolutely. I mean, I have a friend, a very dear friend, who makes a very good living, creating and setting up and maintaining websites. And he called me during the 2000 Florida fiasco, and he said, "David, I just heard that they're pushing a solution." To not ever have any more hanging chads. The solution they're pushing is electronic voting. And he said, "Let me tell you." He said, "I'm a webmaster, and I can tell you, when you go to electronic voting, it is going to be easy as pie to steal elections."
And of course, the woman that was right in the middle of that is vying for a U.S. Senate seat, and I have no doubt she'll get it through the vote fix. But at any rate, that's another story. Getting back to the subject matter at hand,
okay.
A lot of people, David, don't, and this is what I really wanted to ask Jeff when he called in, because a lot of people would like to think that George Bush is just a little screwballish. He's got visions of grandeur and power, and, well, he wants to set up the empire. And I was thinking about this. Now I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. I had people that came down from New York a couple of years ago. They didn't want to disagree with anything that I had to say, but they wanted to stress a point, and they wanted me to accept their point of view. And the point of view was simply this, that you must adopt the accidental view of history. You cannot accept this conspiratorial theorizing that you're doing. And after 2 hours of listening to them, I packed them, thanked them very much, and sent them on their way back to New York. There's a lot of people that don't want to think. You know, that anything that happens in government or something that goes awry, well, that was just an accident. It was not well planned, or it was not intended to turn out the way it was. There are people, David, that will not accept the fact that there is a global governance scheme. People have been working for hundreds of years to accomplish this feat. And it is very, very, very close, closer than in any man's dream that has ever been, to a new world order were right on the edge of them accomplishing their task.
You are exactly correct. And, you know, I am a historian. I loved history. I just gobbled it up in junior high and high school. It's a major of mine in college. And I want to tell you that it is very apparent to the student of history that conspiracy, at least in many cases, was the moving force behind the event or events that happened. I mean, if you've ever read Gibbon's Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, he strongly detailed how one of the biggest reasons this long-standing Roman Empire fell after so many hundreds and hundreds of years of stability was because of a long-running conspiracy from within and at the very top. So, you know, conspiracy is so obvious that mass media has to constantly trash it so that people won't believe in it. I mean, it's a constant trashing of the idea because if you ever did stop and realize that we are facing a long-running conspiracy, well, then it would change your whole outlook on everything. Thomas Jefferson gave the ultimate definition of conspiracy. And here's what he said. He said, a series of oppressions begun at a distinguished period and pursued unalterably through every change of ministers too plainly prove a deliberate, systematical plan of reducing us to slavery, unquote. Now, if Thomas Jefferson can see it, it's there, and indeed it is. And that is what President Bush was shouting from the housetops. He was just completing the long-running plan that Bacon had set up, in the 1580s.
Well, and also there's been other references, the 1,000 points of light.
Yeah.
There comes into view a possibility for a new world order. I mean, this is what he's saying on the United Nations floor. And the United Nations, when you talk to most people that are uninformed, that are still in the dark, have been listening to their evening snooze and reading their controlled medias, they look at this and they popularized the phrase conspiracy theory. You know, we're not talking about a Mel Gibson film here. Anytime that you bring up anything of substance and of history and of fact and of truth, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. They have people's minds trained to the point that you hear anything outside of their carefully thought out and well-controlled paradigm, their mind control, that you mention the term conspiracy theory and, oh, the guy that just said that, made that outrageous statement, he's just a conspiracy nut. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, you see, that has become a mind conditioning trigger point, a trigger phrase, conspiracy theorist or conspiracy theory, and so you know the people whose minds have been conditioned by these by the mass media people who are constantly railing against it, they know. I mean, they respond exactly like Pavlov's dog whenever they hear that term.
Well, either that or when it's announced that it's payday. You know, they'll line up to get their paychecks and they'll do whatever they have to do the following week to maintain that standard of living.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem with a lot of people that I see in this country today, David, is that they know something's wrong. They know something is terribly wrong. They know that America is on that sleigh ride to hell with no snow underneath the skids here. It's a bumpy ride and we're going down fast.
And the abyss is in view.
but they don't. And here's what I've figured out after doing this for as many years as I have, that they are willing to suffer anything just as long as they can keep their illusion, they can keep their well-financed and mortgaged house, their mortgage lives, their credit card debt up to their eyeballs. As long as they can maintain that illusion, that gives them some sort of comfort, even though that the wolves are at the door.
Well, I have it. Part of the 12 years of research that I did was done with a couple of people who had been in witchcraft covens and had come out of them and were now Christians. And one of them was a guy by the name of Doc Marquis, and he was he was actually validated before I met with him. I actually checked with the Boston Police Department to see if he was who he said he was, and they said absolutely. In fact, they were having him give seminars to their detectives, their homicide detectives, on how to spot evidences of that the murderer was an occultist. But anyway, Doc said something very interesting. He said that the Illuminati had reached the conclusion that Americans love their materialism so much that it was important to keep Americans feeling prosperous and at ease right up until the time of the beginning of the planned world war, which would overthrow the old world order so the new could be established. And I think he's absolutely correct. I mean, I know he's correct. We are, despite what's going on, America still, the shops are still full, the reports are still overall good, Americans are, too many Americans are at ease and enjoying their materialism.
Well,
and they don't want to see the truth.
And their choco rations are going to be increased by 8 grams next week. everything is fine. We're having a few problems here, but don't worry. The economy's strong, 4.8%, which is acceptable due to inflationary problems if we have everybody working and too much money is in circulation. Don't worry. We're on an upswing, and the economy is strong.
Yeah, and it's going to continue that way because that's the way they want it, according to Doc. And, they plan the Fed is going to manipulate everything until the point where it's time to crash it down, and that time will be the outbreak of the war that will become known as the Third World War, and will bring down the old world order. And you see, another thing you have to consider is that secret society people are control both sides of most struggles these days, or most conflicts. I mean, not only do you Freemasonry was set up by Sir Francis Bacon. He spun it out of Rosicrucianism, which was overtly Christian. But he wanted a secret society that would be a chameleon society. In other words, in countries where Christianity was the predominant religion, Freemasonry claimed to be Christian. In countries or cities where Judaism is the predominant religion, then you have Jewish lodges. And in the Arab world, there are Arab lodges. During the 1991 war, King Hussein of Jordan was the number one most powerful Mason in the Arab world. So you've got a control on both sides, so that the planned war and the planned collapse will not come earlier than it's supposed to.
Okay, we've got to take a break. We'll take your phone calls into the next hour at 800-313-9443. And for you international shortwave listeners, especially you guys in Europe and Australia, you're going to be real happy because the second hour of the National Intel Report will remain at 11915 due to the time change. And for you folks out there who are struggling to hear the 11915 and you can tune over the 5050, well, you can't do that anymore until the fall. We'll be back with Mr. David Bay right after this.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals?
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
They still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.